God wants you strong and healthy and living in the supernatural. Amen. This is the key to walking in faith, walking in the supernatural. Call those things that are not as though they are. Confess your mouth, believe in your heart. That's the spirit of faith. To appropriate anything that Jesus did for us at the cross. God says, give me your human strength and I'll give you divine strength. The power that's now flowing through you is no more natural. It is supernatural. And it is measured not by the natural law of physics. It is measured by the riches of His grace. Hi, this is Joseph Prince. Romans 1:16 tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is through the preaching of the gospel that we'll see many people saved, restored, and gloriously transformed. Since we launched our Gospel Partner episodes free on YouTube, thousands of new people are discovering the gospel of grace on our channel daily. We have crossed millions of watch hours, and we are hearing testimonies every week of precious lives being impacted. In these last days, the gospel is going out faster and stronger than ever before. So I want to thank all our gospel partners who have joined us to make more sermons and gospel resources free for people who need it. If you're not yet a gospel partner and would like to get involved, please consider signing up for one of the subscription plans on gospelpartner.com. You not only get access to more than 1,000 sermons on the Joseph Prince app and other subscriber benefits, but you also be making a direct impact on advancing the gospel of grace. Subscribe today and get your first month completely free as my gift to appreciate you for partnering with us in this gospel mission. Together, we can make a real difference. God bless you. Take time, church. If you are bathing at home, you know, those moments when you're driving, you don't have to close your eyes, and I recommend you don't when you're driving. All right? We can sing songs like what we sung just now. Right? Singing songs that we sung earlier. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. I guarantee it'll be different by the time you reach your destination. Amen. All of a sudden, you find that you are full of the Spirit. The wisdom of God is there. And the gifts of the Spirit comes into operation. Let me just tell you this, that God has made it so easy for us to be filled and refilled and filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. When He says, be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Have you noticed all three of them is singing? So in the Greek, it is the imperative. It is be and present. Be being filled with the Spirit speaking. The way you get filled constantly is speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Of course, it includes praying in the Spirit, but if you notice all the three there, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, is singing. So as you sing, like on your way to work, as you sing, even under your breath, or you sing, I love you, Lord, to keep your lovely face. I'll guarantee you, when you reach that destination, amen, on your way to the hospital to visit someone, pray in the Spirit, amen, and sing to the Lord, amen. And you don't have to have a destination to sing. Anytime of the day, you just sing. And the Bible has ordained that a New Testament way, the New Covenant way of being filled with the Spirit is just by singing. It's very hard to sing and be depressed. Recently, in the Harvard Gazette, I just read this yesterday, but I know about this for quite some time. But in case those of you who are wondering about this, whether it's backed up and all that, you can search for it, but not now, okay? The Harvard Gazette released a study they made, a protracted study down through the years of women in their 20s all the way to the 70s. And they made this study through many years, you know? And many of these women grew up in the studies. So this Harvard Gazette, they say that the conclusion of these women of different races, different ages, okay, different financial background and all that, because they factor in if you are wealthier, does that, you know, help you to live long and healthier? Maybe because you can afford more, you can do this more. A lot of people think that way. Okay, we rule that out because this test is not about that. We put everyone in all the different categories, different races and all that. Some people say certain race is more they have a propensity towards certain conditions and all that. Well, all races are in this study. And you know what? Besides exercise, we all know exercise is good. So put exercise aside. Besides exercise, besides good food, good diet, right diet and all that, what is the factor, one factor that contributes to longevity? Guess what they found? Optimism. You know what's optimism? And this is how they define it in the Gazette. They say that optimism is expecting good things in your future. Isn't that sounds like the Bible's definition of hope? In the Greek, elpis. Bible hope is what? The confident, certain. You see, this is important, confident, certain. Because the world, you know, they have this, I hope so, la. I really hope so, le. I really hope so. I'm using Singapore style, la, so you all know, right? It sounds more like the way we talk, right? We tell our friends, I hope so. And your friends tell you, I really hope so. And their hope is not confident expectation. But when we use Bible hope, and hope has got to do with the future, something doesn't happen, we must be certain and confident. So the definition of elpis, and this is not from me, not from Pastor Prince. You can look at it from Thayer's definition, from Strong's definition. It says a certain confident expectation of good in your future. So while you're listening to End Times teaching or watching it, and some of you really are into this, End Times, remember what I shared last week, what Jesus said when he talked about the signs of the end in Matthew 24. What did he say? He said, see that you be not troubled. In another gospel where he talked about the signs of the times in the end times, and we are seeing the signs now, right? What did Jesus say? Men's hearts, cardia in the Greek, men's hearts failing, heart failure, men's hearts failing them for fear of seeing those things coming on the earth. Do you hear that? So be careful that when you are involved in end times, all right, studying end times, make sure it does not impart hopelessness as you see the future. Yes, the world will get darker and darker, but child of God, you are not part of the world. In fact, the Lord is going to bring us out before the worst happens. Like the tribulation, like never before on planet Earth, Jesus said. Like no, never was there a tribulation like this. But those 7 years, we are not here. We are looking down from above. Amen. The Lord will rapture us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we can only look forward for the church getting brighter and brighter in the world, getting darker and darker. But if you keep your eyes focused, you know, you look at YouTubes all the time and all the what this guy says, what that person says, and what's happening here, what's happening in China, what's happening in Europe, all that kind of thing, you get very frightened, you get very fearful. Men's hearts failing them for fear of those things coming upon the earth. Now bird flu in Cambodia. And WHO is concerned. And rightly so, there's a body to be concerned about. But you know, seeing these things, right, and not spending time in the Word to put on the helmet of hope is dangerous. These things will happen, and more will happen in the days to come. Right? Let me stand here and tell you, we're not saying things will get brighter and brighter in the world. No, 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 no. In fact, the Bible says it'll get darker and darker. Amen. Until Jesus comes and set this world right. All right. But in between, the church is looking for the rapture. And remember, when the rapture is nothing more than the redemption of our bodies. Because back in those days, when they pay for something, there's also this element where they'll say that I'll take the purchase redemption, okay, on another day, right? But now I pay for it, okay? So I put down an earnest. They call it an earnest. So the Bible says our bodily redemption in Ephesians is actually the down payment. Jesus made a down payment. Amen? And He's coming back for our bodies to be completely redeemed. That means we will never die. We'll never have sickness again. We'll never suffer constant fatigue. We'll never grow old. So we are in heaven, not disembodied. We are in heaven, fully bodied. But except the body is glorified body. Good news. What a way to see our future. Amen. Every time you have an ache, you have a pain. Amen. It just reminds you to long for that purchase redemption. And it's coming for it. And that when that happens, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall put on immortality. Immortality. Amen. And how long will we be in the immortal body? Forever. So we're not floating around. We're not floating around. And even those who have gone on before, amen, up there in the cloud of witnesses, cheering us on now, amen, they're worshiping God day and night, amen. And they are having perfect bliss, joy, and happiness where they are. My mother's amongst them. They are cheering us on. All of them young, strong, healthy, better looking than any of us. Amen. They are cheering us on. And one day, we'll join them. Praise the Lord. But they are disembodied now. But even for them, when the rapture happens, they'll come and claim their bodies, their glorified bodies. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Notice the word "we who are alive and remain" is repeated more than once there in that passage. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. So there are people who are alive because they are young, right? But then alive and remain. So I assume those who are, I would see there those who are older, advancing in years, but they remain. So there is a revelation before the rapture, and we know the rapture can happen anytime. So there's a revelation God is giving out in these last days about overcoming premature death, overcoming, amen. And the Christian's position, I repeat again, is not looking to the grave. It's looking to the sky. Amen. The Bible says this in Thessalonians, and to wait for His Son from heaven. We are looking up, not looking down. We don't have a dust perspective. We have a heavenly perspective. Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. Are you looking to the Lord's coming? Amen. Praise the Lord. In an atomic second, the Bible says, we'll be transformed. And forever, you know, long, long time. Until the 12th of never. That's a long, long time. You all don't know the song, right? Yeah. It's a old hymn. Okay, praise the Lord. I was asking the Lord. Okay, I'm still holding the mic. I was asking the Lord for the word this week. And the Lord gave me a word early in the week. I was supposed to preach and share this word. I got another word for the staff, but the Lord, you know, I was preparing to wait on the Lord for the staff meeting. Usually, I'll prepare and I'll try to get a rhema word. No point just standing up there and talking. If the Lord's, it's not a word in season, you are just talking. Okay? All right. So, I want a rhema word. And let me just pause here for a while because recently the Lord said to me, tell the people the importance of a rhema word. Because I've been saying that, you know, when I open up, I always say, I try to bring to you the rhema word this week. Amen. And you're wondering, like, I don't hear that often other places and all that. What does that mean, Pastor Prince? I think personally, it's very important that there's a lot of word, right, in the Word of God. A lot of words, right, in the Word of God. So that's called logos. But rhema, logos is the overall. Actually, logos became flesh and dwelt among us. But rhema is more specific. Rhema is the utterance, is a specific utterance, is a specific instruction, is a specific message. Amen. And it's important that we hear what God has for our church and for all those who take us as our, you know, take your new creation church as your church, or whether you're watching online, following this ministry and all that. This is the rhema word. When I say it for the church, it's also for you. So rhema means God chose of all the things that we can talk about. Actually, there are people who prepare their messages from January to December, you know. I don't know how that's done. And I don't knock that. Okay, if God tells them that, you know, every man stands before his master. But I feel sometimes I can't even tell you what's the next week's message. Why? I have to wait on him afresh. I have to ask him afresh. I'm like the children of Israel. The special tribe, there are 12 tribes, but the tribe of Issachar in Chronicles, it says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. So the specific message of the times, right, was given to the tribe of Issachar. They have this gift, prophetic gift of a rhema instruction for Israel, that Israel will know what to do. So if you've been hearing me talk about the rapture a lot, that means God wants us, listen, focus on that. Amen. It's the time for that. By the way, just let you know that this word, who had understanding of the times, again, the word times there is ev in the Hebrew and kairos in the Greek. Okay? Understanding of kairos, to know what Israel, to know what New Creation Church ought to do, to know what Grace Revolution Church ought to do. Amen. To know those who are following this ministry closely, amen, and the Lord has put it in your heart to be our partner, amen, to be part of this ministry, you are the one that God is speaking to. Whenever I say Rhema message, it is for this group. So if you look at seven churches, Jesus has a specific message for each seven. So why not just preach one message and say send it to all the seven? I thought it's still the word of God, right? Now, no, it must be a word that is freshly briefed upon, and God is saying, this portion is for you. Got it? So I did that so that you know from now on, I won't be explaining that anymore. Okay? So you know that. Praise the Lord. Amen? And I don't always come up here and flow in the Spirit as well, unless the Lord tells me to. So these few weeks, it's been like that. That's fun. I say it's fun. Amen? Don't you think so? All right. So I was waiting on the Lord for the staff, and God gave me one word, gatekeepers, for the staff. And then upon further waiting, He gave me another word from Leviticus 27. And I felt when I sought the Lord after the staff meeting, I preached both messages. But the Lord said to me that Leviticus 27 message is not just for the staff, it's for all of you. Okay, well, Pastor Prince, early morning Leviticus. Yes. I'm going to share with you from Leviticus, but I'm going to ask you to hold your horses as we read this first. Okay, hold your horses first, okay? Don't jump to conclusions. Read real fast. All right, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, who is God speaking to? Very important you take note. Who is God speaking to? Moses. Okay, remember this. Sometimes He speaks to Aaron. All right? But here's Moses. He speaks to Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, so when God says you, is referring to Moses in the context. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrates by a vow, now, when you vow to God, it implies what? It implies a human strength. It implies energy. Now, God wants us, we learned that for the past few weeks, to be conscious of our weakness. All right, but don't stop there. Depend on His almightiness. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's where prayer comes in. Am I right or not? But if you want to vow, that's what Israel did at the foot of Mount Sinai. God said, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. Amen. Which all of us today are through Christ. We are kings and priests unto God. But that was God's desire even back then. God told Israel, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. But instead, amen, this is what they respond to God in Exodus 19. Before Exodus 20, when God gave them the 10 commandments. Before they heard the 10 commandments, they told God, all that God commands us, we can do it. Kol asher dibir Adonai na'aseh. And it's a very strong word. Na'aseh means we can do it. It is pride. So for you to presume on your strength, and all the while God brought them out of Egypt, when they were in dire bondage, they cried to the Lord. They're like, you know, all they can do is cry. All right? And God responded. God opened up the Red Sea for them. Not because they are good, but because He is good. Amen? There was no water at the Marah, but God turned the bitter waters into sweet waters. And there God made a covenant of healing with them. I am the Lord that healeth you. And there's a secret there. All right? Bitterness leads to sickness. Sweetness, the cross, leads to healing. And then it goes on. God brought water out of the flinty rock. God gave them manna from heaven. And it always proceeded with their complaining. So grace was in action. Complaining is sin. But grace was in action. Amen. Where sin increased, grace superabounds. Amen. This doesn't encourage you to sin more. When you realize the truth of that and you encounter God's grace, it transforms you. Amen. So it goes on all the way to the foot of Mount Sinai. And now they started getting feeling smug and self-important, right? They feel like they can do it. All that God says, we can do. So man is vowing to God. And that means what? God gave them the Ten Commandments. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not. You do it. You stop yourself from doing that. You stop yourself from doing that. And they find they can. For 1,500 years until Jesus came, they realized they could not. Amen. Until today, actually, I should say, people still think they can keep the law. All right? They cannot. But in Christ, the law is fulfilled. Amen? In fact, in Christ, you do more than the law. The law says, thou shalt not steal. In Christ, you give. Not only you don't steal, you give. Amen? The law says, don't commit adultery. In fact, grace gives you the love for your spouse. So I can go on and on telling you, it is by no means, right, a life that is less holy, because only grace can bring a holy God and sinful man together. Therefore, grace is the greatest holiness there is. Right smack dab in the middle of the Holy of Holies, which means the greatest holiness, is the mercy seat. So grace is in the center of God's heart. Can I have a good amen? So when you vow, God says, okay, if you want me to assess you by your strength, then God gave them the Ten Commandments. Am I right? So the Ten Commandments based on natural strength. You shall not, you shall not. Got it? So this chapter here, before you read, you must know this. All right? I don't want the ladies also to get angry and all that, because you will find that the measurement is all different. Because this one is measured to people back then who go to war. Like Numbers chapter 1, 14 times. It talks about number the men of Israel, from this tribe that go forth to war, from this tribe that go forth to war. 14 times that phrase, go forth to war, is mentioned. So in those days, they judge your natural strength by your ability to go to war. Let's go straight away. Now, when a man consecrates by a vow a certain person to the Lord according to your valuation, next one, if your valuation is of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years old, 20 to 60, this is the prime of their life, right? Then your valuation shall be, your valuation, whose valuation? Moses. All right, shall be 50 shekels according to the shekels of the sanctuary. If it's a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. Lesser. Now, before you get angry, ladies, all right, and quote to me Marvel superheroines and all that, right? I just want you to know, this is based on war, all right? So women are kept away from war, but their capacity is lesser here, because it is, this whole chapter is based on what? Not on their standing before God. Listen, it's not based on our standing, are all equal. In Christ, we are all equally accepted. We are all forgiven, all of us. We all have that closeness with God in Christ. We are all in Christ. Regardless whether you are male or female, Gentile or Jew, we are all in Christ, so close to God. Amen. That is in terms of your standing. This is not about standing. This is about capacity, because you made a vow. About man's natural energy, man's natural mental power, okay? Which doesn't go very far, actually. It's a lesson we are all learning every day while we're waiting for our body. Now, watch this. So, there's a difference. 50 shekels for those age male, 20 to 60, female, 30 shekels. From 5 years old up to 20 years old, your valuation for a male shall be 20 shekels. Okay, lesser, all right, for children. Am I right? All right, teenagers, lesser. Amen. And for a female, 10 shekels. Drop down. If from a month old up to 5 years old, then your valuation shall be 5 shekels. For a female, your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. Now watch this. For many of you, you are more concerned for this. If from 60 years old and above, if it's a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels. So from the prime of your life, it was 50 shekels. All right, you pay to the sanctuary. Amen. And this is like their annual tax, okay, back in those days. But it's to illustrate the truth. So listen to me to the end, and then you'll see the beautiful truth that God has for us. And you also learn at the same time how to teach Leviticus. God put Leviticus there as a compare and contrast. So watch this. Not just compare and contrast. Many a times it unveils Christ in the sacrifices and in the rituals and the ceremonies. So here it says, if from 60 years old and above is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels. So this is old age, the onset. This is what the world says. The world says when you're 60 and above, you are in your declining years. Okay, for a female, 10 shekels, drop down. But if he's too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the Lord. So don't forget, all these things has got to do with what? Natural capacity, natural energy, mental powers without God's strength and all that. If you want to go by that, in other words, you want to go by the law. The Lord spoke to Moses. That's why I said the Lord spoke to Moses. It was to Moses that God spoke, right? And what did God say? All right? This is your valuation. If the law is natural, you shall not, it's all natural. Doesn't impart supernatural help. The law demands, grace supplies. Are you listening, people? So finally you say, but I cannot, like that, I cannot, I'm just too poor. I can't even pay the valuation. So Moses represents the law. Then you go to the priest. If you are too poor, if he's too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the priest. And the priest shall set a value for him. And you know, his only ability is to say, I'm too poor. So if you're too poor, you present yourself before the priest. Who is the priest today? Jesus. Don't present yourself to Moses. Moses cannot descend to your level. The law cannot descend to your level. You have to go up higher. If you find you fall short, you are too poor, you cannot ascend higher. If you are a poor man, you cannot stand before Moses. You can always fall back into the arms of the priest. Because the priest represents grace. Come on, the priest represents grace. Amen. The first mention of priest in the Bible was Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, bringing bread and wine. Not demanding, but supplying. Amen. Priest represents grace.
Amen.
Can I have a good amen? Amen. All right? So, you're too poor to stand before Moses, fall back into the arms of the priest. And the priest shall set a value. It doesn't even tell you the value. Because when the priest set a value, man, I'm telling you, your value is higher than 50 shekels in the prime. Amen. So, church, what am I saying by sharing this portion here? I'm saying that God wants you strong and healthy and living in the supernatural.
Amen.
All this is natural. So, it's true. If you are natural, right, when you are 1 month to five, you are still weak. All right? When you are 20 to 60, they say that's the prime of your time. All that is natural and it's true. And your body responds that way. It's true. If it's assessing you based on the natural. Even medical science will tell you that. So we're not denying that. It's true. From 60 onwards, it's decline. It is true. So remember I said it's true, huh? All right? In the natural. Okay? A few of us are knocking on 60 actually. So it's coming, right? And it's in the natural, it's like that. So we're not denying the natural. We are not denying. In fact, this whole thing tells you, declares the natural. But God wants His people to live under grace.
Amen.
So is there anyone that defies it even in the Old Testament, which is actually the people were under law? Yes. Moses did. In Deuteronomy, when he died, the Bible says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished.
Amen. Amen.
Look at Abraham. Abraham, our father of faith. The Bible says Abraham is our father of faith. And look at what happened when the Lord visited him with two angels, right? The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Drop down, you see what he did? Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd. Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good. Abraham what? Ran. Now, from what I know, right? There's a certain age, you don't run anymore. Eh? You walk. And then in the natural, you don't walk. You glide. And then some of them, they don't walk or glide, they rolled. They are rolled. Okay? So that's the natural. But here, this man, Abraham, ran to the herd. I was reading this one day when this word jumped out at me, ran. And I said, wow, it's there all the time. I didn't see it. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Prince, Abraham was still young at that time. This chapter what? 18, right? 18, right? Go to the one before this, Genesis 17. How old was Abraham? Read, when Abraham was 99 years old. So this next chapter is after he was 99 years old. Hello? The Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. And Almighty God is El Shaddai. All right, Almighty God in Hebrew, I am El Shaddai. It's the first time the name El Shaddai appears. I am El Shaddai. All right, walk before me and be blameless. Now, he didn't say, be blameless, then you can walk with me. Didn't say that. Read carefully. If you walk before me, the word panim, God's face is there. Live your life seeing my smile on you. Not my back turn on you, my smile on you, my favor on you. When you walk before me, conscious of my presence, you will be blameless. Okay, watch. Are you with me so far? So how old was Abraham when he started running? I said started running. When you find him running, we don't know when he started running. So how old was he? He was nearly 100 years old. Now you might say, Pastor Prince, in those days, they grow old very slow on. All right, in those days. And women also, you know, like you talk about Sarah being young at 90 years old and all that. But, you know, their body is still young in those days. Now, I agree when you talk about antediluvian, the flood people before the flood, they live long lives. Yes. All right. But after the flood, Abraham is after the flood. The earth is no more the right kind of condition. The canopy that protected from all the harmful UV rays and all that is all destroyed. There was a canopy. It's another message altogether. But the earth was tilted and all that. Abraham lived post-flood. Life was shortened drastically already. And not only that, Abraham and Sarah didn't have special bodies. Let me show you from the same chapter, Genesis 18. It says what? Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Now, didn't say old means you must be old. Because Abraham ran. Same chapter, the running chapter, chapter 18. Later on it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. That means what? Menopause. All about the, you know, she's already menopause. Women have menopause, guys, mental pause. You talk to them, all right. It takes some time before they understand what you're trying to say, right? Like, y'all laugh very fast. Some of them, they just got it. Yeah, you know, mental pause, all right? So, you don't find in Abraham these declining powers. But the body in the natural, the Bible didn't say they had special bodies. No, their bodies are like ours. Sarah has gone through, like what other women goes through at her age. She ceased to be the manner of women. She's 90 years old. When Abraham was about 100, she was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac. Right? Abraham. Was he okay or not, his body? Let's look at Romans 4. Romans 4 tells us, okay, now drop down to verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So in the natural, his body is dead. So God is not saying walk by faith means that you deny all the natural facts, all right? All the natural scientific facts and all that. You deny it. No, no, no. But God wants us to live in by faith. Even pertaining to our strength, our health, and remaining alive until the rapture. I'm teaching you this. Are you listening? And time is catching up, so I want to finish this. Okay, so you help me, okay? All right? Laugh faster. Try to unpause the pause button. Okay? Are you with me so far? All right, watch this. Abraham, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead. So his body wasn't special, like, oh, at 100 years old, those days, their body is still young. No, 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 no. His body was like any other man, dead already. 100 years old, dead already. Dead. Okay? What did he do? Why was he not weak in faith? He considered not the natural fact. If he didn't consider the natural fact, what did he consider? Many of you, you're going, advancing in years. Okay? You're advancing in years. Your years are the same. It will go higher and higher. Because your age will always go up. Am I right? That's called advancing in age. The Bible says Abraham advanced in age, but his body did not do so. Now, listen, I must say, put a proper caveat there. That was after he walked in faith. Something happened. God is telling you, are you going to consider your body today? Are you going to consider your age? Are you going to consider the fact that you are now 70 or 60 or 50? Amen? God says, Abraham considered not his own body, now dead. So the fact, the natural fact is that his body is now dead. Okay? But what did he consider? Oh, and also he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. His wife's womb was dead. Okay, so these are facts. The Holy Spirit doesn't hide us from the facts, natural facts, but natural facts, right? So today people are saying, you got to be realistic, like Pastor Prince. All this renewal of youth and strength and all that. You got to be realistic. Realistic based on whose standards? Who sees reality more than God can? You see something, you say it's real, all right? But it was the spiritual realm, that is unseen realm, that brought forth the natural realm. You are greatly curtailed in your understanding if you just depend on your five senses. Because you are a spirit being, and your spirit, everything fleshly, everything visible, will all pass off. And that which is eternal, your spirit man, will live forever. But not live forever in the unseen realm. We have bodies and all that. The city of Jerusalem is you know, the heavenly city of God, heaven and all that, will be real, seen, touched, more real than the life on earth. Because it was an unseen spirit that brought forth this physical realm. So God wants us to learn to live by faith, like Abraham. So if Abraham considered not his own body, now dead in the natural, neither yet the deadness of his wife's womb, what did he consider? He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. What was he persuaded? He was persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. What did God tell him when he didn't have a son? You will be a father of many. In fact, let's look at the chapter before Genesis 18 where he ran. Let's look at the one where God says Abraham was 99 years old. Okay, what did God do to him at that time? Look at Genesis 17, all right? This is the chapter that God says, I am El Shaddai. Drop down. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made, past tense, I have made you a father of many nations when he didn't even have a son. True, Sarah. And his body is dead, nearly 100 years old. His wife's womb is dead. These are the facts. And what did God say? I want you to change the way you talk. I want you to change the way you talk about yourself, especially. From now on, Abraham, your name is no more Abram. Abram is actually a high father, a father who is exalted. But now you'll be Abraham. Abraham means a father of multitudes. Wow! The audacity of faith. You don't even have a son yet through this woman whose womb is dead. And God says, you'll be a father of many. No. Not you will be. I have made you a father of many. So God wants us to confess. That's why, go back to the earlier part of Romans 4. God wants us to be like Him. As it is written, God said to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God. Look at God's characteristic here, right? One is that he quickens the dead. We know that he quickens the dead. And calls those things which be not as though they were. Aha, this is the key to walking in faith. Walking in the supernatural. Call those things that are not visible yet, that are not tangible yet. Call those things that are not as though they are. Jesus looked at a man whose hand was impotent. Amen. And Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. Obviously, Jesus don't look, see the way natural man sees the hand. Lazarus has died 4 days. Jesus says, he's sleeping. I go and wake him. Amen. Jesus said to a man who was impotent in his feet, paralyzed for 38 years. Rise! Take up your bed and walk. You don't say that to a person who is in the natural. If you see him paralyzed, obviously the natural is a natural. We are not denying the natural, but God calls those things that are not in the present as though they are. God saw darkness and God didn't say, wow, so dark. You become darker. So God's way of, we are like, the Bible says, like God. God calls those things that are not as though they are. And God taught Abraham this secret. Abraham, call those things that are not. You're not yet a father in the natural of many, not even one yet. All right? But now you call yourself Abraham. I'm a father of multitudes. We all know he had Ishmael when he was younger, right? That's not through Sarah. I'm talking about not a single child through his lawful wife, right? That's the life of Abraham in the natural. You look at Abraham coming in from the field. The wife says, Abraham! That means what, in Hebrew? Father of many, father of many. And by the way, Sarah's name was Sarai, was changed to Sarah, which is princess. Then from the field, he answers, yes, princess. Yes, princess, father of many. Then all the neighbors say, you know, you come to a certain age, right? You know what I'm saying? They want a kid so much. That's what the world will say about you. When you walk in faith, they'll say all kinds of things about you. Sometimes other Christians who don't understand faith will say that about you. Now, we are not denying the natural fact. Abraham considered not his own body now dead, which means what? The natural fact is his body is dead. And you say, well, Pastor Prince, this message, you know, for young people and all that, that's your problem. If you, no, for old people, if you are young and you start thinking, oh, this message for, you know, and your confidence is the fact that you are young and you have strength. Well, only yesterday I ran how many miles, Pastor? I did this, I did that. Yeah, I'm going to show you something in the Bible. It says that Isaiah, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. You know utterly fall? Utterly fall. In the Hebrew, it is repeated twice. Fall, fall, which means for intensity, which means utterly fall. Even the youth. So if you're confident in your strength, it has an expiry date. Wait. Just wait. So just because you say, this message is for older ones and it's not for me, your trust is on a shaky foundation. God wants us all, young and old, to do this. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. Just now we waited on the Lord, right? In your presence. That's waiting on the Lord. Every time you spend time before the Lord in His Word, that's waiting on the Lord. Call it quiet time. Call it appointment with God, tryst with God. Whatever it is time with God. That's waiting upon the Lord. What happens? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. Now, you want another revelation, a deeper revelation? The word renew is exchange their strength. It's actually this. It's not, we always had this mentality. This verse means, I go to God and, you know, He gives me strength for my weakness. Actually, my problem is not my weakness. I know when I'm weak. My problem is that I don't know that I'm strong in myself. Is God says, give me your human strength and I'll give you divine strength. Wow, and then you will understand what it means. The next one, they shall mount up. They doesn't mean the young men. Those who wait upon the Lord. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because the energy that imbues you, amen, the power that's now flowing through you is no more natural. It is supernatural. And it is measured not by the natural law of physics. It is measured by the riches of His grace, amen, which is limitless. Amen. Some people say, well, Pastor Prince, you know, all this is spiritual, you know, spiritual strength, spiritual this. Then why do you say that it ceased to be the manner of women for Sarah? It's the natural. They're not asking for spiritual seats, you know. Name my mind. I wonder if I have spiritual seats. So sometimes we spiritualize the Bible when God, we rob ourselves of that aspect that God wants us to enjoy and walk in. Don't anyhow spiritualize the Bible. Here it's very clear. They mount up with wings like eagles. You know, there's a promise in Psalms 103. God says, forget not all His benefits, right? Someone bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Forget not how many benefits? Why do we just preach one or two? Amen. Some people, you only preach one or two. They don't believe. Oh, Pastor Prince, talk about your renewal of you and all that. You know, but God says, forget not all His benefits. Number one, forgives all your sins. Number two, heals all your diseases. Number three, redeems your life from destruction. Hallelujah. When you fly, you thank God for this benefit. Amen. Amen. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. Amen. This is favor. Number five, forget not all who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In case you are wondering, maybe it's spiritual youth, Pastor Prince. Let me tell you this, okay? Like the eagles destroys that concept. Like the eagles. Why did God say like the eagles? Because He know that people like you will say nothing. So God put like the eagles there. Amen? Just like today, there are people, universalists, who say that, oh, lake of fire is just temporal. All right? The worms there are temporal. Everything is temporal. Let me tell you this. Jesus says eternal.
Yep, that's right.
The same word eternal is used for God, the eternal God. And Jesus says where the worm does not die. You pinch it, you peel it off, it does not die. It's still alive. Hello? Still here. All right. It's literal. Why do you use language like worm dies not and the fire is not quenched? It's literal. A loving Savior told us about a place like that. Are you with me so far? God wants His people to walk in faith.
Amen.
He wants us to be a supernatural people. Amen. Yet at the same time, not denying in the natural. So if you step into the natural, bang, you are subject to the law. You are subject to what is natural. Amen. You are subject to Moses. But if you have the revelation, you are too poor for anything. I resign myself to that. I'm too poor to even pray, to know how to pray. I tell me, I don't even know the words to pray. I tell the Lord, I am too poor. I fall back into the hands of my high priest, my Lord Jesus, and the words come. It takes us a long, long experience of falling on our face before we learn that we are too poor. Go to your high priest fast, man. Are you with me so far? Okay, bringing this to a close. Is that music to your ears? I got so much more to share, you know, but remember, you say that 60 years old is decline. Well, it's not true for Moses. It's not true for Abraham. By the way, after Sarah died about 100 over years. Abraham died at 175. All right, after Sarah died, I think she died about 100, over 120 years, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, after Sarah died, what did Abraham do? He married some more. And then, did he have children? Yes! Yes, he married Keturah. And he had children. So something happened to his natural body, now dead. Something happened. Why? He considered not his own body now dead, but trusted God who says, I have made you a father of many nations. And that faith so changed his body, all right? While waiting for the glorified body, we can do something with this natural body.
Amen.
Amen. But it comes through faith. Are you going to believe the natural facts? It's true. All those things. We don't deny those things, people. We are saying the moment you snap back under the law of Moses, right? You snap back under what is natural. Yes, you are subject to all that. The weakness and all that. But the moment you step into faith, you can be like this man. In Joshua 14, he says this in his old age. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said. He's very conscious of God's word. This 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day. How old? 85 years old. 85 years old. God kept him alive for how long? 45 years. So how old was he when he went out to spy out the land? 40 years old. He stopped growing old. He forgot the formula of growing old. He didn't know how to grow old already. Because he was a man of faith, he looks to God's word alone. And then he says, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago when Moses sent me out. Right, Joshua? I'm as strong. Today I'm 85 years old, and watch this. As yet, I am as strong this day as the day Moses sent me. Just as my... Now, somebody said, well, Pastor Prince, that's spiritual strength. How many times must I tell you that? Okay, I must tell you this now. How many times must I tell you this now? All right? As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. You know what's war? No? He's talking about the natural. Now, he's talking about the supernatural and natural. In the natural. He says, I'm strong to fight. You know what happened? The following verses, he went in to Hebron. In fact, drop down, he says this, therefore give me this mountain. And that's Hebron, mountain of Hebron. You know who was there? Giants, Anakims. And by the way, science have found bodies of giants. These are the ones that built the Stonehenge and all that kind of thing. No human could have done it in the natural. These are giants in those days. There's another message altogether. The sons of God, the Bible talks about fallen Nephilim and all that. Okay? And he killed those giants at 85 years old. Don't play around with this old man. Old in age. I'm as strong this day as I was on the day Moses sent me. These are men of God. They don't tell lies. All right? And if Joshua relating, like imagine someone come to him, you know, with a stick, you know, I'm not 85 years old, Joshua, give me this mountain. Hey, bro. Yeah. God bless you. Amen. Of course you're strong. Of course you're strong. All right? Mental posturing. Of course you're strong. Right? Joshua won't tell him. But Joshua gave him, drop down, Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb. And he had to go in there and fight. Caleb went in and fight with giants at 85 years old. He wasn't kidding. He was as strong for war as he was back then. You see, what's his secret? If you didn't notice just now, he kept on saying, as God said, as he said, as God said to me, as he said, it is the word of God. That's why I'm telling you, we go by the word of God. If God says, don't forget all his benefits. Don't forget all. Every day confess, God satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. Amen. All my sins are forgiven. All my diseases are healed. And confess all your benefits. There are 5 benefits, the number of grace right there. And God says, forget not a single one. Forget not all his benefits. So the problem is that we our mouth, we are very quick to say, we are very quick to say, getting old, right? Getting old. Very fast. We are very quick. We watch dramas, and I come to a certain age, oh, this one very old already. Oh, that one very old already. Consciousness. You watch the news, the consciousness, all the reports. It's all in the natural, and they're all facts. Don't misunderstand. Of course, there are some theories and all that. But we're not denying the natural facts any more than Abraham denied his body is dead or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He considered God's word above them all. Because if he didn't consider his own body now dead, he must consider something. He considered God's word. Amen. Are you blessed? Are you happy? Are you with me so far? Are you getting this? Or still in the mental pause, Pastor? Almost got it. I can hear the wheels of the mind working. Amen? So early this week, I actually told you about God wants to give you a healthier mind, yes. Young mind. So don't confess, you know. I'm very forgetful nowadays, you know. Getting already. You know, don't confess that. Because you see, the way faith works is like this. I'll close with this, okay? Yeah, I'll close with this. All right? Real fast, 2 verses. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, like Joshua, like Caleb, like Abraham, like Moses, we have the same spirit of faith. Do you have the same spirit of faith? How does it operate, Pastor? According to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. So if you say, I'm getting old, you know, I'm always sickly, all right? You believe that, or else you won't be saying it. And now, you have what you say. Recently, in fact, was it only very recently, the Lord said this to me. You know, old people complain a lot. It's a fact. It's sad because they only have a pessimistic view of everything. So they complain a lot. Nothing to complain, they complain that there's nothing to complain. Right? So let me just say this to you, what the Lord said to me. Is it, son, he told me, old people complain a lot. A lot of people grow old because they complain. You see, the natural, I tell you what's the natural. You know what, you want to know the natural tendency of Pastor Prince? When you see something, find fault. When you see something good, find fault. Don't look at me in that kind of face. You are the same in the natural. We are slow to praise, quick to criticize. Is that natural?
Yes.
Natural. You are supposed to live in the supernatural, in the spirit, by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's a fact, what? I see the problem, Pastor Prince. You're blind. You don't see the guy's fault. You don't see this fault. You know, you choose what you want to see. I'm not denying the facts in the natural might be here and there. You see the failure of the person here and there or whatever. But there's so much good if you look up for it. Amen. And it's not natural. It's not natural. It's natural to complain. It's unnatural to praise. Amen. Even in our relationship, it's unnatural to praise. It's unnatural to say thank you. You understand, right? The word thank you and the word grace is the same. Charis. Which means if you experience grace, you will say thank you. Amen. And thank you also brings even more grace. That's the meaning right there. We gotta teach our children to say thanks. Why? In the natural, they are the natural. We are teaching them to be supernatural. Not to live like the world. Learn to say thank you when someone gives you something. Or else they'll be in for a lot of hard knocks. The school of hard knocks will teach them to be grateful for what they have. So let's teach them before the school of hard knocks teach them. If you love your child. Grace people need to correct their child. Not say, never mind, grace, never mind. No. That's misapplication. If you love your child, you will correct your child. Because if you don't, the prison or the correction department, when they correct, it's not the same. You do it with love. Correct them when they're young. I'm so glad God bring them into the world small. Imagine if God brought them into the world, teenagers. Whew. Isn't God good? Amen. So keep this principle. And I told you two verses, right? And one more verse. I'm going to show you. Your greatest gift is what? What's your greatest gift? Salvation. Am I right? Salvation. Am I right? Am I right? Is salvation your greatest gift? How do you get salvation? Jesus did everything, yes. But how do you appropriate it? How do you? Spirit of faith. I believe and I speak. Romans 10, 9 and 10. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So easy to be safe. It was hard. It was painful. It was tortuous for Jesus. But it's easy for us. The word is so near you. You don't have to climb up the Himalayas. Swim in the deepest ocean. All right? Pass your PSLE. Right? You just have to. The word is so near you. Speak it out. The word of salvation. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Always remember, it must be in your mouth before it drops in your heart. Okay, I don't believe I'm young. I don't believe I'm healthy. I don't believe I'm strong. Confess it. Every time you take communion, say, Lord, by your stripe, I'm healed. I'm young. I'm strong. I'm healthy. As Jesus is young, strong, and healthy at the Father's right hand, so am I in this world. Young, strong, healthy. As Jesus' mind is, so is my mind in this world. Amen. I have perfect recall of everything. Praise the Lord. You got to confess that. But it doesn't manifest yet, what? Pastor Prince. That's why it took Abraham. Listen, the day God promised him was 20 years ago that he would have a son in your seed. But it wasn't manifested until he was 99 years old. And God says, change the way you talk about yourself. Call yourself, I'm a father of many. Bang! The next year, the boy came. So the missing element was this. Belief in the heart is not enough. I believe, I believe. Pastor Prem, what you say, I believe, I believe. Have you spoken or not? Say it. So how do you get salvation? In your mouth, then it drops in your heart. If you do, even if you don't believe it at first, put it in your mouth, put it in your mouth, it will drop in your heart. And then you start believing, then you start out of the abundant heart, the mouth speaks. All right? If you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, confess what? With your mouth? Jesus as your Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. So confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. That's the spirit of faith. To appropriate anything that Jesus did for us at the cross, including healing, including renewal of youth and strength. Amen. And then watch this. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, with the heart, you believe. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto protection. Amen. Do you have the same spirit of faith? Or your spirit of complaining? A spirit of the world? A spirit of bitterness? A spirit of fear? Or do you have the spirit, same spirit of faith like Joshua, like Caleb, like Abraham? I believe and therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. And I'm not denying the natural, but I believe God's word above the natural. I believe the supernatural, which is more concrete than the natural, which is subject to change. And I'm done. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this place. Don't worry, they'll hold your children for a while. Just for a while, okay? Amen. All right, listen. They're enduring, you know, down there. They hold them for a while. You are blessed. At least you got more peace than our teachers. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you can, don't move around. If you can. All right? Because I ended up with that passage for a purpose as well. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're never safe. You're not a Christian. You say that if I die tonight, I do not know, Pastor Prince, where is my destiny? Well, my friend, Christ died for our sins on that cross. And if you believe that, confess with your mouth and say this from your heart. All right? Say this after me. Out loud. Remember, confession is out loud. And this is the spirit of faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on that cross for all my sins and bore all my sins away and redeemed me from the curse of the law. I thank You that You raised Him from the dead on the third day, bodily. And Jesus Christ is alive at Your right hand. I thank You as He is, so am I in this world. Jesus Christ is my Lord, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands all across this place. Everyone say this after me. Throughout this week, I will not forget all His benefits. Thank You, Father. You have forgiven me of all my sins. So there's no unforgiven sin in my life. You have healed me of all diseases. So there's nothing left out. You redeemed my life from destruction. You crowned me with Your favor, Your loving kindness. You satisfy me with good, so that my mouth is filled with Your good and my youth is renewed. I'm young again. I'm young again. I'm strong. I'm healthy because of Jesus. And with that spirit, face this week in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. But don't go just yet. If you'd like to receive prayer, share your testimony, or find out more about Gospel Partner, just click the link on this screen. If not, I'll see you in the next episode.